Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tongues like fire appeared and were distributed to them, and one sat on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the sky. When this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were bewildered because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" Others mocked him and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke out to them, "You men of Judea and all you who dwell at Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these aren't drunken as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Most of you know that I'm a big baseball fan, and football for that matter, but it's baseball season, and certainly love watching the Phillies and the Orioles. Baseball is the great American pastime, but what makes it the great American pastime? Somehow, over the years, baseball has become part of the American dream. You've heard the expression, "That's as American as baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet." I think is the way it goes. That's something else maybe too. But why is that? Well, I remember as a kid growing up in Selbyville that I couldn't wait for school to get out, to go out in the sand lots and the back lots, and later on, played Little League with my brother and my father, who was a coach, my Little League team. Could not wait to get the catcher's equipment on and to be the catcher. We called it bat catcher back then. And my brother was a second baseman, and just couldn't wait. Even as an older adult, I really couldn't wait for evenings when we were at Laurel Christ Church. We participated in a men's, it was a co-ed seniors league. And us old guys would be out there playing slow-pitch softball. Couldn't wait to get out to Epworth Field or Atlantic Road Alliance Field to play on those hot July nights. Well, back in 1989, one of my favorite films came out starring Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones. It was called Field of Dreams. How many of you have seen Field of Dreams? Yeah, by now everybody's seen Field of Dreams. It became so popular that it's almost become an American icon. It's about a farmer, played by Kevin Costner, who listens to the advice of a disembodied voice that tells him to do something very unusual. Remember what it was? Build a baseball diamond in the middle of a cornfield. Build it, and he will come, was the voice, over and over and over and over again. The film has become a metaphor of sorts of hope. Hope for many who find it hard to dream dreams and to have visions. The term field of dreams has become shorthand for vision casting or optimism or risk taking and, of course, for hope. I've heard people say that there must be a field of dreams for America. There must be a field of dreams for Earth, planet Earth. There must be a field of dreams for the continent of Africa and for science and so on and so on and so forth. But you know what? I've never heard anyone say that there must be a field of dreams for the church. There must be a field of dreams for the church. Why is that? Well, when you stop and think about it in light of today's text from Acts chapter 2, the church actually began as a field of dreams of sorts by some very unlikely characters who were outcasts and outsiders from the established church at the time. But what about today? Has the church become instead a field of boredom, a field of apathy? And I dare say in some cases it's become a field of battle in some churches. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day in which the church has set aside to remember just where the church came from and how it came into being, how it was born. It's a day to ask ourselves how free the Spirit actually is to move and where the church might be heading. Today is for imagining some fresh, new possibilities, a field of dreams, if you will, not just for the United Methodist Church as a denomination, but all churches everywhere. And in particular, Bethel United Methodist Church, which is really the focus of what I'm talking about today, and to make this field of dreams a reality. Now, although the plans are not complete and not quite ready to bring to the full church, you need to know that your church leadership has been working for some time now and working very, very hard on a field of dreams. A field of dreams that you'll be hearing more about in the coming months. Do you remember filling out a survey maybe a month or two ago? Remember the survey, and it asked what you felt were important priorities for the church, what you would like to see addressed and dealt with? And how many you all took that survey? I'm sure most of you did. Yes, you did. Well, the results are in. And the leadership at Bethel has put together a comprehensive proposal. This is kind of the front page of the proposal. That's too detailed to get in today. I'm going to leave that for the church conference, which is going to be coming up in the next month or so. Besides, they still need some tie up some loose ends and get some more additional information before they bring it to the full church. Suffice it to say, this project is probably the biggest thing that will happen here at Bethel Church, or has happened at Bethel Church, since 1956 when this very building was erected. I'm telling you, it's big. A field of dreams. The dream come true for many in our church that will service our church for many, many generations in the future. And I hope, and we hope as the leadership, that it will address many, if not all, of the areas that you felt were important as a congregation, like handicap accessibility, handicap accessible bathrooms, parking, and taking care of our stained glass windows, which have not really been addressed in almost 100 years. They need to be cared for as well. It's a comprehensive, overarching program that addresses all, if not most, of the needs in the church. It will also, part of this proposal, also enable us to use technology in ways we've never used it before to help people connect with God in ways we could never have imagined before. Technology is an important part of our proposal. I'm so very, very blessed and privileged to have served a church for the past 5.5 years that gets it. This church, for the most part, gets it. You understand that the church has to keep up with the high-tech, high-speed culture in order to reach that culture for Jesus Christ. You're a congregation that's leaning into the future and not wishing for some mythical good old days, which, by the way, are one of the last thing said by a dying church. That's not Bethel. But for the church to be a field of dreams, we've got to remember our roots and reclaim our Pentecostal heritage. We've got to be like those first followers of Jesus, who after Jesus' resurrection and after his ascension, waited for the promised Holy Spirit with anticipation and excitement and expectation. They watched and they waited until finally the promised gift that Jesus told them would come in John 14 came upon them at Pentecost in a powerful way, propelling those first disciples into the future, into their field of dreams that we now call the Church of Jesus Christ, which after 2,000 years is still alive, still with us, and in most cases doing very, very well. I believe that this is the message of Pentecost. We've got to anticipate the spirit of Pentecost to lead and to empower our field of dreams. I can imagine those first disciples being so excited that maybe they were standing on their tiptoes. Maybe they were looking out the window. Maybe they were so excited for the promise coming that they stood on their toes. We too need to get excited about this new project, this new plan here at Bethel, and all the good things that God has planned for you in the future here at Bethel. But we've also got to do more than stand on our tiptoes, more than just anticipate and expect. As one who won't be here with you, to be a part of it and take part in it over the next few years, your new pastor, Reverend Earl, is more than capable, having 34 years of experience in ministry and many experiences of construction and renovation and modernizing and upgrading. I believe he has come at a time just such as this, for just such a time as this. Now, let me share with you a few things that I believe will be invaluable to you as I decrease and you increase. First, we need to get on our knees. Bethel Church needs to be on its knees to keep it on its toes. A spirit-led and empowered church must be a church that prays together and praises God together. Of course, prayer and praise of God is not restricted to Sunday morning. It's not restricted to 9:15 or 11 o'clock or 8 o'clock. You don't have to be in church to pray for your church, to pray for this project, to pray for the future. But the church needs to nurture a vital holiness in its midst, beginning with prayer to strengthen its members spiritually, particularly the leadership of the church, through the vital worship, God-inspired worship, Christ-centered worship, and Spirit-driven worship. That's essential for any field of dreams to come to be. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time something brought tears to your eyes in church? I'm not talking about the annual budget. Okay. When was the last time something brought tears to your eyes? The Holy Spirit must be free to move us to our knees at unexpected moments, at any time. The Spirit can make us smile, can make us laugh, can make us cry, and even say amen now and then, or to lift a holy hand in praise. The church isn't just a place where we come to get our needs met or to simply think about God things for 1 hour out of the whole week. The church is a place for people to experience the transforming, life-changing, forgiving love of God with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Prayer is the foundation for which all field of dreams, vision casting, and possibilities begin. I'm calling on all of us to be in prayer for the future of Bethel Church and all churches, but particularly your church. Secondly, we need to pour out our hearts. To pour out our hearts. You know, it's easy to forget why we exist. Easy to forget what this is all about. Many people outside the church look at the church as just another institution, just another organization that collects money from its people and spends money, just another human institution or organization with a hierarchy and a bureaucracy, and God knows we got enough of that, that produces business and a lot of busyness, a lot of work. Yes, the church is an organization, and we need organization. But the church is more than an organization. The church is a living, breathing organism. Because it's made up of what? The church is a people. Living, breathing people. Pentecost reminds us that our purpose is to be none other than the physical presence of Jesus Christ in each community. We don't need a nice building. We don't need a choir director. We don't need a well-run preschool. We don't even need an ordained pastor to be a church. Bless you. But what we do need, and every church needs, is what? The Holy Spirit of God in order to be a Christ-centered community of faith. The church must have a heart that reflects the love of God through a Spirit-filled community of believers with self-sacrificing love. Pour out your hearts. Thirdly, to realize our field of dreams, we must extend our hands in service to the world. The church does such great things as soup kitchens and food pantries and homeless shelters and transportation for those that need it. It sends money around the world and locally to do the work of Christ, to help fight off malaria through mosquito nets and such. It makes little girls' dresses out of pillowcases to send to poor children in Nicaragua. It's serious about missions and outreach to its community. To extend our hands and be the hands of Jesus means that we need to be involved in ministry and missions, not just in our local communities, but regionally and globally as well. We need to do all three. And finally, to be a field of dreams church, we need to spread our wings. We need to spread our wings. You know, one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit is what? The dove. If we're going to fly with Christ, to use a term from our Emmaus community, to fly with Christ and to be a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church, we're going to be willing to first have faith and trust in the Holy Spirit. Faith and trust in God. We can't take flight under our own power. Nothing is possible without God's Spirit. But we can prepare for the flight of a lifetime. And I believe that Bethel Church is ready for a flight of the lifetime. I see this church right now poised like an aircraft carrier with an F-18 Hornet on the catapult, ready to be catapulted into the future. I believe that's the future of Bethel Church. You're ready to be catapulted off that aircraft carrier into the great unknown. Remember the story of Peter Pan? There's a song in the Disney version of this childhood dream story that can help us here. The line goes, "All it takes is faith and trust and a little bit of fairy dust." The dust is a positive trust. Now I'm going to redeem that a little bit for our purposes today. As Christians, we can supply the faith and the trust. We are called to have the faith and the trust. But only God can give us the wonder-working power of the dust, if you will, the wind of the Spirit, and the fire of the Holy Spirit. Only God can give us that part. Of course, we must use reason. We must be rational in huge projects like our modernization and capital improvement plan. But we've also got to have faith, and we've got to trust that God's Spirit will lead us and guide us into the future and to Bethel's field of dreams. Pentecost reminds us today, folks, that at the heart of the body of Christ, that would be you and me, the church must have people who are willing to spread their wings, to pour out their hearts, to open their hands, and to get on their knees. The very symbol of our denomination, the cross and the flame, says it all. This is what it takes for the church, the United Methodist Church, the Bethel United Methodist Church, any church, to be a field of dreams so that we can make disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's our mission statement as United Methodists. And I'd like to think that's our mission statement here at Bethel. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word today that reminds us what we're about and how you have empowered us, just as you empowered those first disciples, to go into the world to make disciples and to share the good news of Jesus and your love. Lord God, we are poised to make a huge difference in this community and to touch lives for Jesus Christ and to bring salvation to those who need salvation. Help us, O God, as we begin this next chapter in Bethel's life, to move forward, to be that jet plane on the deck of that carrier, knowing that it is the wind of your Spirit beneath its wings to lift it to some wonderful possibilities. Thank you, O God, for this vision. Thank you for our field of dreams. But most of all, thank you for your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Joyce?